Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Episode 19 on 5/19 of 2019. This is the 19th episode of 2019. Wow, I was looking at all the numbers there. If there were just 19 months in a year, this would be perfect row of 19s. But anyway, I hope you guys are having a blessed or had a blessed weekend. That your last week was also equally blessed. Some of you this comes in waves. There were so many postings and texts and things about someone suddenly losing unexpectedly a favorite uncle to a sudden heart attack, or an aunt finally succumbed to an illness that she'd been fighting off, and somebody's father-in-law unexpectedly passed away. There was a lot of that this week. It's just kind of like a wave of it. So I guess in one sense, I would celebrate with those of you who have lost loved ones, and I grieve for your loss with you, but those who have lost believers, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who've gone on to be with the Lord, that's a time to celebrate. That's I'm envious, actually. I'm not in any rush to get there, but I do look very much forward to that. I welcome that. And but anyway, I just hope you guys are, your families are strengthening one another and coming alongside of each other through these times. And once again, I'm sorry for your loss, because I know it's hard to lose people that are, you know, very influential in your life. As you know, people that are strong rocks that you can cling to. Mentors and people that are comforters, teachers, and you're just interwoven into your soul, you know, as far as being just really woven in with other people than see them go away. So it's hard. But anyway, praying for you guys, and I have been, as those came in this week. There was just about the last 10 days, just a lot. So that was on my mind. I thought I'd throw it out there. But, hey, don't forget, it's coming up pretty quick. We are doing a lot of planning behind the scenes. The T-Rex 2019, 3-day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's actually about 48 hours, but it starts Friday and then it ends Sunday about noon Pacific time, July 26th, 27th, and 28th. A real, a reality-based, a scenario-based, nationwide grid-down training exercise where you get to practice. What would you do if the power went out, if the infrastructure stopped and you had no fuel, the transportation, your cell phones, your internet, the commercial power? Well, a lot of us, you know, we try to prepare for disasters. And how often do we practice with that? Well, this is an opportunity for you to practice. But actually, it's a nationwide communications exercise. So there will be the entire AMRON network will be practicing. So there's hundreds, if not thousands, will be participating, passing emergency traffic. A lot of it will be preloaded traffic, so we can kind of guide the scenario as it develops and the timeline as it unfolds. So the lights go out. You don't know why. Well, you tune in when conventional communications are down. How else are you going to learn? Well, the ham radio operators largely, and there's other resources out there as well, but they're going to have the corner on the market for the flow of information. They strive for this. They're going to do everything within their power to get on the air and start sharing what they know and passing information along. That's how you can learn about what's going on in a major situation. Hopefully you'll feel like somebody in your group will feel led to get their communications up in your group, so you can stay informed and inform others. Anyway, that was a long commercial for T-Rex, but we are working on the details of that, so more instructions will be forthcoming starting very soon as far as how you can participate. And it really is very simple. It's very easy, especially if you're already into communications. But even if you're not, we're going to give you some tools and some guidance on how you and your family can start taking steps to stay informed. All right, now let's talk about the news and commentary. Brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and his 299 Days book series about the collapse or partial collapse in the United States and the rebuilding afterward and the efforts that the Patriots take to join forces, join together, some of the challenges that they face together and overcome those to begin rebuilding something anew. So that's at 299days.com. And don't forget also that if you have a hard time reading things because you're so busy, well, the audiobooks are out as well. All right, there's another story covering China's social credit score program. We want to stay on top of this and keep it in front of you. This time it's mainstream. New York Post has an article over there. This just came out this week. Matter of fact, yesterday. Welcome to life in China's social credit system, where a low score can ruin your life in more ways than one. Say, and this they do a good job asking these questions. What would that look like? 1984. Say you arrive at the Beijing airport intending to catch a flight to Canton, 1,200 miles south. The clerk at the ticket counter turns you away because, you guessed it, your social credit score is too low. Not only are you publicly humiliated in the ticket line, you're then forced to travel by a slow train. What should have been a 3-hour flight becomes a 30-hour stop-and-go nightmare, all because the government has declared you untrustworthy. Perhaps you defaulted on a loan, made the mistake of criticizing some government policy online, or just spent too much time playing video games on the internet. All of these actions and many more can cause your score to plummet, forcing citizens onto the most dreaded rung, the lowest rung in their society. So there's another article if you want to go check it out. It's at newyorkpost.com, posted yesterday, diving more into the details of that. Just give you a little teaser there so you can go check out more. Now, this is what really caught my eye today. I was kind of giddy about this. On the Drudge Report, there is a headline that says, Fox News poll: Trump in huge trouble with voters. What? So Fox News is running a poll and they're showing Trump is in huge trouble with voters. Talking about going into 2020, right? But then I started to read this and another headline caught my eye. So keep this in mind, patriots, lovers of conservative values and traditional American ideals. The fake news, the news cycle, Fox News is better than the others. There's no question about it. But take everything with a grain of salt when it comes to mainstream, well, anything on the internet. Even me. Fox News poll: Trump is huge in trouble with voters. And then this next article: Australia's election of conservative defied months of polling. Did you catch that? Key in on this. Australia's election of conservative defied months of polling. This guy Morrison. The victory of Prime Minister Scott Morrison upset analysts' expectations after 6 tumultuous years of conservative government. Oh, those people must be in misery. 6 tumultuous years of conservative government. His Labor opponent, Bill Shorten, will resign his party leadership. There you go. And he should. Get out of there. Scott Morrison, Australia's conservative prime minister, won his first full term in office on Saturday, confounding expectations that the country's voters were ready for a change in course after 6 years of tumultuous leadership under his party. The polls had pointed to a loss for Mr. Morrison's right-leaning coalition for months, with a handful of seats still looking too close to call. It remained possible that Mr. Morrison would have to lead a minority government rather than retaining outright control. Well, check this out. Keep that in mind as you start to see headlines and polls like this. Fox News, this is the headline. Fox News poll: Biden booms, Bernie fades. Trump slumps in head-to-head matchups. Biden also, this is the quote, Biden also performs best in hypothetical 2020 matchups. Among all registered voters, he leads Trump by 11 points, 49-38%, up from a 7-point advantage in March. Biden's is the only lead outside the margin of sampling error in the matchups tested, and he is the only Democrat to push Trump's support below 41%. Sanders tops Trump by 5 points. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? That Bernie Sanders, the socialist communist, tops Trump by 5 points? I don't buy it for a second. And Warren is up by 2, 43-41 points, while Harris ties Trump 41-41. Do you really believe that this no-name Harris ties Trump and that Elizabeth Warren is actually, according to this, would beat Trump by 2 points? So just wait. Watch the tears fall in 2020. And look at this headline. Australia's election of conservative defied months of polling. So you're going to see months of polling that's going to be showing how Trump's struggling. He's not going to make it. But maybe that's what we need. Maybe the conservatives need to be scared enough to vote. Don't think you just got this in the bag and don't show up like conservatives do. Because the left is motivated. They're mobilized. So don't let up. Don't fall for it. You've got to take action. You got to get involved. This is not about politics either. People are like, oh, I'm not involved in politics. This is beyond politics. This is not about being involved in politics. This is about the soul of your nation being in jeopardy. The communist agenda is fully matured now, and they're here. They're not coming. They're here. And this is real. This is not about politics. It's about you deciding whether or not your kid gets vaccines by mandate, or whether or not you give up your firearms, or whether or not your county commissioners are being coerced into accepting a globalist green belt open spaces agenda, which is going to squeeze you off of your property. That's what this is about. It's not about politics. Get that. Get over that. All right. Remember last week I covered this New American story. I got another one for you a little bit later about this veterans fight or this organization, this advocacy group, First Liberty Institute, is coming to the rescue it's a POW group that's trying to keep a World War II POW's Bible on display at a Vermont Veterans Center. So you got this atheist group filing a lawsuit that said this is going to lead to fundamentalist Christian triumphalism, exceptionalism, and superiority, and domination or dominionism, right? And it cannot stand. That's what it says. That's what they said. Well, here we are once again. You say, this is not about politics. This is why I'm saying this. Oh, I'm not really into politics. It's not my This is not about politics. The political process is used to bring you into bondage. That's why you need to be involved. But there's some major spiritual warfare. There's coming persecution to Christians. And this kind of work, where an organization like this can even exist and even be so bold as to be quoted as saying, this is fighting for a POW's Bible to stay at this Veterans Center is a repugnant example of fundamentalist Christian triumphalism, which if you're a Christian, you should be triumphant, right? Not because of anything you did, but because of what Christ did, right? In Christianity, and Christ is exceptional. Superiority and domination. Well, it has nothing to do with dominating. It's not dominion. It's not domination or dominionism, except we're supposed to take dominion. But that doesn't mean oppression. Nowhere in the Christian doctrine are we supposed to force Christianity on anyone else. But that's their argument. You're forcing your Christian views on others. Not everybody's Christian. You're forcing your... No, actually the opposite is true. You are trying to force a godless, atheistic worldview onto Christians who just want to be left alone and live out their faith. But see, that's what they do. They project the very thing that they are doing onto you, saying, don't do this and don't do that, things that you're already not doing. Oh. The Equality Act. This is brought to us a very, very well run, written article by Sherry Duvalli over at Redoubt News. And this is this Equality Act. This is what I'm going into, this Equality Act. Politics that you don't want to be a part of. Well, here we go. George Orwell had it right. Now, for those of you who may not know, he was a famous writer of, he wrote Animal Farm, which is what Sherry Duvalli writes about here. But 1984, if you haven't read that, it's a mandatory book. Animal Farm is too. Although it actually really used to be mandatory in most schools, and they are removing it. Anyway, she writes, George Orwell had it right. We are now seeing the era of Animal Farm, where all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. The Democrat-controlled House of Representatives passed the Equality Act just this week by a vote of 236 to 173, with every Democrat voting in favor, along with eight Republicans. The Equality Act promotes discrimination under the pretext of prohibiting discrimination. We just keep getting better, don't we? Self-destructive path that we're on. It is a bill that would amend the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 1968 Fair Housing Act to include protections on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, in other words, sexual perversion, in the areas of employment, housing, public education, federal funding, the jury system, and more. It turns sexual orientation and gender identity into a protected class or protected classes. This bill pushes the LGBT platform over all others and forces the citizens to adhere to that agenda, even if it violates their personal beliefs. Christians and others will be punished unless they violate their beliefs in order to comply with such a law. The Liberty Council explains, this bill destroys bathroom privacy. It would welcome both genders into every bathroom in America. It directs religious K-12 schools and daycare centers to force children to obey adults who show up at work one day as a man and the next day as a woman. These children are at a highly impressionable age, and this bill gags counselors from giving professional help to those facing unwanted same-sex desires or actions. It even criminalizes those who share their own story of finding freedom in Christ from homosexuality in a book or a speaking engagement. This bill literally sets the stage for banning the Bible, and there is no religious exemption to this bill. But same thing with the forced vaccinations. They're removing religious exemption from all of this. So what the religious freedom principles this country was founded on are being stripped away. And that's going to carry over. You think that, well, I don't care. I care about guns. I don't care about the other stuff as long as I can keep my guns. Well, according to the Second Amendment and all of our rights, those are inalienable rights endowed by our Creator, and those were listed to specifically be defended and protected by the government, and to specifically declare that those are hands off to the government, because there's a higher authority than government, and that's God. So if you remove God from the equation, well, that leaves the state as the highest authority, and then they can determine whether or not you get to keep your guns. So if you don't care about this other stuff, I don't really care. I don't care if two guys want to get married. That's fine. Well, okay, great. But it's not just about two guys who want to pretend to be married. This is about the removal of God, the highest authority, from the hierarchy of things, of law, and the higher law. So when they remove that, they can strip everything away, including your gun rights. Because the right to self-defense is not a God-given right, because, well, there is no God. So the state has to make those serious decisions and establish those rights. Further, this bill demands that every religious adoption agency place innocent children in homes with adults involved in same-sex conduct. It also demands that religious families be willing to accept practicing LGBT minors in their home as a prerequisite to being approved for foster parents. This legislature would create many more victims, like women in shelters who have been sexually assaulted by a man posing as a transgender to gain access to the facility. President Donald Trump is expected to veto the legislation if it reaches his desk. Unbelievable. Finally, we'll wrap up here news and commentary with this one from rhinopac.org. That's R-H-I-N-O-P-A-C.org. Rhinopac.org. Rhino hunters of the inland Northwest. And their stark raving mad page. Just pick one story here. White babies not wanted. This is from 12 May from the Twitter world. And this was written on 12 May. Yesterday, a Caucasian high school girl girl's tweet, she would never have babies because she doesn't want to create any more white people, went viral with thousands of respondents celebrating the prospect. The tweet received over 23,000 retweets and 136,000 likes. Whites are the only race on earth whose numbers are actually declining. The Center for Disease Control reports white American births are below replacement levels in every single state. Eurostat, the European Union's statistical agency, reports that white births in Europe are now below replacement levels in every one of its 44 member nations. White nations are the only ones whose borders are under sustained attack by millions of non-whites wishing to immigrate, and the majority of white residents welcome them. The future for the Caucasian race looks dark, they write. So it's not my story. It's theirs. Take it for what it's worth. Well, it's actually it's worth a lot to be aware of this type of mentality where someone does not want to have children because they're ashamed of the race that they belong to. It has nothing to do with superiority or anything like that. But can you imagine if that was done to any ethnic group, where they brought them to the point where they were so ashamed of how God made them to be that they did not want to reproduce? And doesn't the Bible say, go forth, reproduce, bear offspring, right? Multiply. But now we have this oppressive type of system that is bringing people to both not want to reproduce, and for those who do end up reproducing, to kill their offspring. We need the Lord now more than ever, don't we? All right, Alert USA, about a 2-minute summary of this week's intelligence briefing, and then stick around for the end of the show for the full length, which this week I think is about 4.5 minutes. Alert USA weekly summary intelligence brief at the end of Radio Free Redoubt. But here's your teaser. We'll be back with segment 2 in just a moment. Don't go away.
This is an Alert USA Threat Journal Homeland Security weekly update for Saturday, May 18th, 2019. This week in security news, on 7 occasions this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via SMS messages to their mobile devices regarding safety and security matters. Most important for this update, on Wednesday, Alert USA subscribers were informed of a new Islamic State propaganda poster in circulation on social media showing a crouched individual, head wrapped in a shamag or kafia, holding a rifle in one hand, a cylindrical grenade in another, and a bloodied knife at his side. The following statement is included in both Arabic and English. We swear, O cross worshippers, that we will make you suffer the most severe of pains and the most harsh of catastrophes, for a new age is upon us, an age of lions and not one of slaves. The background scene of the poster is a photo of the interior of a Catholic church located in Central Texas. A branding logo on the poster is for the Islamic State affiliate Nor al-Tawhid Media Group, with Nor al-Tawhid translating to the light of monotheism. Listeners are reminded that on April 18th, Alert USA subscribers were notified of the release of a joint intelligence bulletin by the Department of Homeland Security, FBI, and National Counterterrorism Center, warning law enforcement, military, and security personnel that religious holidays, including Ramadan, may provide increased symbolic interest to extremists aspiring to target faith-based communities in the homeland, though such attacks have historically not been restricted to these periods. Additionally, the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, their associates, and those inspired by such organizations have repeatedly called for and directly threatened attacks on quote-unquote worshippers of the cross, disbelievers, and the West in general. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, May 2019.
We're back with segment two of Radio Free Redoubt on episode 1919 of May 19th of 2019. I just like saying that. All right, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate is sponsoring segment two. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate helping like-minded patriots get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, if that's where you're looking to go. Well, you can't get much more of the heart of the American Redoubt than that. So SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is where you want to go to learn more. Don't forget to be checking out SocialismToday.info from the senior editor of the Gem State Patriot. Doing a really good job over there. And that's pretty much it. I want to remind you guys, a couple of Liberty State events coming up that I was asked to pass along. Of course, Thursday evening, the 23rd, in Spokane Valley at the Event Center. Go to libertystate.org for more information about this. But this one you won't find at libertystate.org. The co-captain of the Ferry County and Liberty State Movement is involved in a couple of events. They asked me to help pass along to you folks that they're going to have a booth at the Falcon Gun Show in Republic on Memorial Day weekend. And then also they're going to have a dinner meeting for volunteers and their orientation on June 11th at Beardsley's Restaurant. And that's Ferry County. So passing that along. If you are in that area, then appreciate your guys' support, dropping in and helping out. See where you can get plugged in. Remember last week when I mentioned the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers? Those are on LibriVox. I have them. I've got them downloaded now for the both the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers now on audio. So you can drive around, listen to those, LibriVox.org, and we'll get the link up in this Highlights and Resources posting also, but you can just go to LibriVox yourself. It's LibriVox, LibriVox.org. And there's a search box. Just type in Federalist Papers and you'll see both the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers listed there. Download those, add them to your audio library, especially our Black Echo broadcasters out there to add to your repertoire. Okay, now here's something that was sent to me by one of our listeners and an Ameren Core operator in Idaho County, and this is what's being sent out by their Board of Commissioners. And this is disturbing. This is a trend that you need to be aware of. You need to back these guys and really put pressure on your legislators. But for immediate release out of Idaho County, and this is happening across the country. This is relevant to you no matter where you are. The Idaho County Board of Commissioners will be adding an agenda item to a future regular meeting to publicly discuss a letter received by the board from the State of Idaho Office of the Attorney General. The letter threatens individual criminal prosecution of each current Idaho County Commissioner if the board does not commence work within 60 days of April 24th, 2019, to adopt a comprehensive plan. That term should scare you. To adopt a comprehensive plan and at least one zoning ordinance required by Title 67, Chapter 65 of the Idaho Code. If the commissioners are charged, they will be personally liable for their own legal defense. The Idaho County Board of Commissioners has historically favored private landowner rights over governmental restrictive zoning and land use planning. In 1979, a countywide referendum vote was taken in Idaho County to approve or repeal Idaho County Building and Permit Ordinance No. 15. The votes were 2-1 in favor of repeal of the ordinance. In 1980, the Idaho County Board of Commissioners did reconstitute and establish by ordinance an Idaho County Planning Commission. However, the commission was disbanded by the Idaho County Board of Commissioners in 1986 following a vote of the majority of the Idaho County Planning Commission to disband because of deep philosophical divides. The board supported legislation proposed this last legislative session that would have made the comprehensive plan mandate discretionary. Unfortunately, the proposed legislation failed after multiple amendments. While the Idaho County Board of Commissioners takes the Office of Attorney General's threat seriously, the board intends to give the highest priority to upholding private property rights of Idaho County citizens while complying with the statute. So they're going to hold these county commissioners criminally liable if they do not comply from this United Nations Agenda 2030 top-down driven mandated comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan is this convoluted, confusing, jumbled mess of requirements that they must have for their planning and zoning at each county level. Now, the problem with this is, you know, you want to protect green spaces, right? You want to have smart growth, don't you? You know, all these buzzwords that the globalists are using, which should scare you when you hear them and see them. So they're mandating that these county commissioners develop a comprehensive planning and zoning building plan. Now, it's so confusing that what happens is these guys are not experts in this field. They, to meet all the requirements for what has to be in a comprehensive plan, which they could write themselves, and they could actually write it in a way that preserves land ownership and land rights, but it's so monumental, you have to bring in some experts to help you for a fee, $300,000 for this consulting fee to help you write your comprehensive plan because it's outside of your area of expertise, and this is where they dupe them. This is where they get sucked in. You pay for it. You pay for these consulting firms to come in to assist your county commissioners because they're just so overwhelmed. They don't even know where to begin writing something like this. And somebody says, hey, no problem. That's what we do. We'll come in and alongside of you and help you. And they'll have these public meetings where they run all of the concerned citizens around a poll and mock you for asking questions about their intentions. And then they go ahead and do it anyway. So this is a very scary trend. Now, this is not just Idaho. This is not just Idaho County in Idaho. What you saw, if you remember, what last year or the year before, all the legislatures in their legislative sessions were presented with this mandatory legislation for comprehensive bill, must be passed through, cannot be, it was 2 years ago. You cannot choose not to address this and pass this legislation. Some of them did, and they got called back by the governors and went into a long session where they were forced to pass this legislation mandating that your county commissioners have a comprehensive plan. This is, corruption is just, is wild. This is Agenda 2030. It is United Nations, which anything related to the United Nations is not ever going to be good, for their policies to be implemented at the local bottom level, all the way, they drilled all the way down to the county commissioners, mandated from the top. So we're looking for solutions and answers to how to not break the law, but not let somebody else write your comprehensive plan. Gosh, there should be some patriot version of this comprehensive plan. There you go. It's not what they want, but if you can write your own comprehensive plan, man, there should be something. Is there some patriot consulting firm out there that can make money as a consultant coming into these counties, writing the comprehensive plan, basically undermining what the United Nations is trying to accomplish and still have a comprehensive plan? That's the only solution that I can see. So anyways, it's very, very disturbing. And see, this top-down agenda thing is really disturbing because it's this like this dark force, this spirit that's going out over really the whole country. It's not just the whole country; it's the whole globe. this global mindset, global community mindset, global citizen mindset. I remember when I covered last week in the American, the New American magazine had an article, Pope Francis calling for the end of sovereignty and an establishment of global government. And now you're seeing this is one of the ways. There's another way I'm going to tell you about in just a second. Another one from the New American. Man, the New American is nailing it. They're exposing all this stuff from all over the world. The John Birch Society is just, they are the leading edge organization, leading this, exposing this stuff. Their research is second to none. Unreal. No, oh, by the way, I got some letters from some Catholic listeners. I want to let you guys know, I understand that the Catholics are not happy with this Pope and he doesn't represent your views and he's a total globalist, off the rail, socialist, communist, and you guys are just pulling your hair out. I get that. Okay, this is not, Catholics are bad. Look what their Pope said. It's not what I was saying. I don't think anybody took it that way, but I want you to know, I know, I get it. I understand your frustration with that. And he does not reflect your views. He has a lot of conservative, hardcore patriot Catholics in this listening audience. So, that guy in that position has departed from your core values. So, just keep the faith. Stay close to God, stay in his word. Now, also, talking about this global top-down UN agenda, not UN, but this globalist agenda, here's another one. Swiss referendum requires voters to decide between guns or globalism. Well, it's a no-brainer, right? we vote no on globalism and yes on guns. Well, they're making it very difficult. Why would the Swiss, so I'm just going to read you this portion from this article. I want you to go read it at thenewamerican.com anyway. It's from their world news. It's the Swiss referendum requires voters to decide between guns or globalism. But this is what I keyed in on from this article. It's right from the heart, the belly of this article. Why would Swiss even entertain such a shrinking of their natural right to defend themselves? English language, Swiss media explains the seemingly inexplicable. The referendum on the issue is being held because the Swiss Shooting Interest Club, or group, supported by the conservative Swiss People's Party, or the SVP, launched a popular initiative calling for Swiss voters to reject the European Union Firearm Directive. The committee behind the initiative collected the necessary number of signatures to trigger a referendum under Switzerland's unique system of direct democracy, which I don't recommend, but this is the tool that they used. In other words, gun owners in Switzerland worried that without an explicit rejection of the European Union's firearm directive, provisions of that law might slowly find their way incorporated into Switzerland's domestic legislation. Well, the Swiss Shooting Interest Group is so concerned about the creep of gun restrictions into their country that the information they've published to explain their opposition calls the European Union's firearm directive an EU disarmament dictate, describing it as a direct attack on the right of the people to keep and bear arms. I love that language. This is a direct attack. This is not a passive trying to pass a law to ban. This is a direct attack, which creates a impetus for defending, right? Of particular concern to Swiss gun owners, estimated to number over 2.3 million, is Article 17 of the European Union Firearms Directive, which reads, by September 14th, 2020, and every 5 years thereafter, the Commission shall submit to the European Parliament and to the Council a report on the application of this directive, including a fitness check of its provisions, accompanied, if appropriate, by legislative proposals concerning, in particular, the categories of firearms in Annex 1 and issues related to the implementation of the System for the European Firearms Pass to marking and impacts of new technologies such as 3D printing, the use of QR codes, and the use of radio frequency identification, RFID, for firearms. So no wonder they're worried. Look at all that one provision would require. Every 5 years, each signatory country would have to prove to the European Parliament that it's implementing the prohibitions established by this regulation. So according to the Swiss media, the government of Switzerland warns that should the referendum to eject the new gun restrictions pass, the country could experience severe economic repercussions. This is how they're doing it. This is globalism. So this isn't UN, this is European Union, but it's still the globalist ilk that are behind this. This is still the mindset. The government says this could cost the Swiss economy billions of francs a year, while the Swiss Federal Office of Police warns that Switzerland would be deprived of key security and crime information accessible via the Schengen information system. So losing Schengen status would also have a knock-on effect of immigration, because as a non-Schengen country, Switzerland would cease to be covered by the so-called Dublin regulation. Under the Dublin rules, asylum seekers can only apply to one European Union member state for protection. If Switzerland were no longer covered by these rules, there could be a spike in asylum requests, because failed asylum seekers from other European Union countries would then be able to apply to Switzerland as a next port of call. So in other words, protect gun rights and be flooded by asylum-seeking immigrants, or accept the new firearm restrictions and enjoy protection against the wave of immigrants washing across the rest of Europe. And that is the scope of what we are up against around the globe. We'll be right back.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty's state. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republic.
There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come! I repeat it, sir. Let it come! It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear? Or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Segment 3 of The Voice of the American Redoubt is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive. Also, don't forget, they have They now offer remote consulting services so that they can assist you anywhere in the United States with the planning of your property in a way that integrates key elements: water, food, energy, and security. True sustainability, to be able to sustain your family on your property, including securing your water rights, which is crucial today. Go to strategiclandscapedesign.com to learn more. Now, something that's been coming up quite a bit lately is the discussion of the potential for civil war. Now, this isn't just right-wing, extremist, radical, crazy 3%er militia, whatever, groups talking about this. This is mainstream. There's an article here on the New York Times. There's the New Yorker. There's Boston Globe, Newsweek. There's lots of discussion as far as could this be a reality? And so we've been talking about this lately for quite a while now. I keep sprinkling things throughout here through the show and on the website and our Facebook page about some of the indicators and some of the things that we should be thinking about, considering, you know, planning for. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean there would be a civil war, but we're headed that way because we have the polarization, the balkanization, the extreme two primary groups. You got your right and your left, but within those are multiple different factions in and of themselves. Now, when it comes down to your right versus left, or the capitalist versus the communist, you get your traditional Christian American ideals versus a godless, increasingly hostile toward Christianity type of camp. And when you reach the point where you have one group looking at the other as not just problematic, you've moved beyond marginalizing them or demonizing them. You're moving into you are maturing the demonization side. Now, that's where the other side doesn't just have an opposing viewpoint than you. They don't just see things differently than you do, or offering alternative solutions that you may or may not agree with. It's where you reach the point where the other side is evil. Each side's looking at the other side as evil, to the point where something needs to be done about them. And as each side becomes more and more cranked up toward the other side, perceiving the other side as a threat, then you're going to butt heads at some point. I mean, historically, this is what we've seen. Now, from my perspective in the United States, we've seen essentially American Christian ideals traditionally for generations since the founding of our country. And then somebody else comes along and says, no, I think communism should be better and we should advance communism. And we say, no, this is America. This is that's totally diabolically opposed to American founding principles. Well, we don't like those, are antiquated. So we need to change it. And we say, no, we don't want to change. Actually, this is what we want. We're conservative. We want to conserve that which made us who we are. It's how we are defined. That's our identity. That's who we are. And you're trying to make me into something other than what I am or what I want to be. And so they say, oh, you're causing division, are you? Well, we're going to force it on you then. And you say, well, I don't want you to force that on me. And they say, well, so you're trying to keep those traditional views, so you're trying to force those views on us. But it's the mind-bending twist that's taken place where they come along and say, we're going to change the rules now. And you say, no, this is how things are. This is how, these are the rules of the game, and we're playing Monopoly, and we don't want you to start throwing in, you know, a deck of cards and making up new rules. You know, if you don't want to play Monopoly, if you want to play Monopoly, get in the game. But if you don't, then go somewhere else. But they're the ones that come along and say, we're going to change things up. And we say, we don't want those kind of changes. And then now we're causing division. So now something must be done about those Christians. And I've even seen this on these Indivisible and Antifa and other. But even locally in the American Redoubt, in conservative strongholds, you see the social media And I've seen where these people are saying, what are we going to have? What are we going to do with these Republicans? These are two women chatting back and forth going, oh, those Republicans, were we going to have to start killing them? And of course, lots of calls for, you know, killing Christians. They need to be wiped out. They need to be snuffed and all this kind of stuff. So far be it from a Christian to say we need to start fighting back. Not even to do it, just to say it, just to think it privately. It's the greatest sin you could ever imagine. But we look at Venezuela. There's a good article over here in New York Times. Venezuela's collapse is the worst outside of war in decades. This is from some economists are saying this. Butchers have stopped selling meat cuts in favor of offal, fat shavings, and cow hooves, the only animal protein many of their customers can afford. So there's no war there, necessarily. I mean, there is violence, and there is street violence, but a lot of it's the arms that were taken from the citizenry so they couldn't defend themselves anymore. Those weapons given to communist, radical communist street thugs to enforce the communist regime's policies, keep people in line, keep them starving. But outside that, there's really no war. There's no conflict. There's not two sides that are battling it out regularly. So Zimbabwe's collapse under Robert Mugabe, the fall of the Soviet Union, Cuba's disastrous unraveling in the 1990s, the crumbling of Venezuela's economy has now outpaced them all. Venezuela's fall is the single largest economic collapse outside of war in the last 45 years, economists are saying. They say it's really hard to think of a human tragedy of this scale outside of civil war. So this will be a touchstone of disastrous policies for decades to come. Socialist, communist policies. And of course, there's Bernie Sanders saying, you know, that don't look to Venezuela. They did it wrong. They did socialism wrong. All of them did communism and socialism wrong. If you just give them another chance to do it right this time, we could live in this utopia. I say no thanks, but no thanks. Not even no thanks, but just no. So last week we talked about the Forward Observer Dispatch and the great article that Sam Culper put out at fomag.com. And he talked about low-intensity conflict as the doctrine of war below the threshold of conventional war, like tanks, troops, planes, but above routine peaceful competition. Low-intensity conflicts characterized by political, economic, diplomatic, and information warfare, along with low-level politically or ideologically driven violence. And, of course, he gives some examples. Now, you look at the causes of civil wars. It's interesting. I went to Britannica. I was just doing some research to see what they had to say. And I keyed in on this. Accordingly, regimes that combine autocratic and democratic features are arguably the most prone to violent conflict. So you have an autocratic component to it, a heavy-handed government. Like, we started to see the trend of a lot of our federal agencies going, you know, in the last 10 years, not so much in the last couple of years under the current president, but you saw a lot of autocratic, in other words, they are the gods and they say what goes and what doesn't go, and they're the final arbiters of justice, and it's no matter what they say, it's right. You know, if you need to get your cattle off this land because we struck a deal with the Chinese to put in a big solar farm here, but we're going to say it's about saving turtles, then we are the supreme authority and you must submit. Otherwise, we're going to annihilate you. But then you have the democratic features as well. This is where the people have been so led astray, they actually demand things that are oppressive toward others. So you have an autocratic system with a democratic feature to it, and that's the most prone to violent conflict, which is where I see our country being forced into. We're not quite there yet, but this is where they're squeezing the American culture into that corner. Very interesting. Now, you guys have hopefully remembered me talking about Alexander Tyler. It's from the late 1800s. He's a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh. So he was talking about the Athenian Republic about 2,000 years before this writing. But it is timeless, the principles that he wrote about. He said, a democracy is always temporary in nature. Isn't that what our founding fathers said also? Well, of course, our founding fathers and their study and their research and their writings probably influenced, heavily influenced Alexander Tyler's philosophy and his writings. But he echoed what the founding fathers of this country said. A democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. That sounds just like our founding fathers, doesn't it? From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse over loose financial policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, these nations always progress through the following sequence: from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. And the cycle begins all over again. So while you are in abundance and going into complacency, those who know history try to warn them not to take your eye off the ball of liberty and freedom, your founding principles. Don't depart from that. That's where the apathetic set in, and they respond to you saying that you are a fearmonger, overreactor, conspiracy theorist. So, very interesting. Let's got some other stuff. You know what? Let's take a break. And then we come back. I'm going to round out section four. Kind of recapping a couple things that I started to get into last week. And what do we got here? Yeah, let's do that. And then we'll be right back. This is Radio Free Redoubt. And don't go away.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Yeah, we're back with segment four, the final segment of episode 1919 on May 19th of 2019. Maybe we should do 19 segments and make it perfect. But now we're going to run out of time. So, okay, segment four then, brought to you by Works Holsters. Works That's W-E-R-K-Z is in Zulu. Works.com to learn more about how you can get your custom-made Kydex holsters and magazine carriers made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. And if you are in Liberty State, then look into the Liberty State line of holsters where you can have the Liberty State flag or the Liberty State seal emblazed on your gear at Works Holsters. Part of those proceeds go to helping support Liberty State. Now, since we've been talking about Christians' attacks on Christians and conservatives in general, but really it's going to come down to attacks on Christians, because even among the conservatives or libertarians, you're starting to see a divide, right? You're starting to see a lot of libertarians say, you know, I don't want them taking my guns. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I'm paying already too much in taxes. We need lower taxes. We need more responsible government. But, you know, the God thing, let's just leave God out of it. But I want to be left alone. So I want my liberty. I want my freedom, but I don't want God to be part. Matter of fact, those of you who want liberty and freedom and all that stuff now, who do want God into it, well, you guys are, you're trying to force your views. You're going to be starting a Christian caliphate, you know, forcing me to, nobody's forcing anything. What we're doing is preventing those who want to live according to their conscience from being forced to violate their conscience. Plus, we also believe that God has blessed us abundantly. And reading through Isaiah and Jeremiah and some of these, to see how God has dealt with people that he blessed and elevated and prospered, who snubbed their nose at him and rejected him, the hammer comes down on his people. And we know that. So we're fighting not for our own survival, but for yours. Because when that judgment comes, you cannot protect us from his judgment. So why would we care about what you think in our fight to preserve our Christian heritage and to honor that source of our blessings? Because he can take it away just as fast. And the way he does it, it will really get your attention. And so you don't even know the Christians that are fighting for our heritage to preserve that, to keep vile, evil, communist, Satan-rooted doctrines out of our culture and to fight to preserve that which our country was founded on. You don't even realize we're fighting for your survival and you're fighting us. What do you do? Stay the course. Keep doing what you know is right. You don't force your views on other people. You also don't let them force a godless, communist, globalist, anti-American agenda on you that's destructive to your families and in your nation, your culture. Marginalization, then demonization and dehumanization, litigation, criminalization, incarceration, and finally, extermination. The battle of good against evil. Last week, I started to talk about, these Russian files and more documentation that shows that Stalin ordered the massacre of 20,000 Poles back in 1940. New York Times did a piece on this. Well, I was talking to someone about this. Actually, what triggered that was a patriot was talking to me about a movie. He actually gave this movie to me. I have it. It's called The Last Witness. When war ends, the fight for the truth begins. It was from 2018, a young ambitious journalist risks love, a career, and ultimately his life to uncover the true identity of an Eastern European refugee and his connection to the British government's collusion in the cover-up of one of Stalin's most notorious crimes. That notorious crime by Stalin was the murder of 22,000 Poles. Now, they went in specifically, it was to all of the police that they had in custody, kill them all. They got to go. And this was in the what's called the Katyn Forest in Russia. the Kalinin and Kharkiv prisons and elsewhere. The total killed, about 8,000, were officers imprisoned during the 1939 Soviet invasion of Poland. Another 6,000 were police officers, and the rest were Polish intelligentsia, the Soviets deemed to be intelligence agents, gendarmes, landowners, saboteurs, factory owners, your businessmen, lawyers, officials, and priests. So what they did was they targeted patriots who had, they were in leadership positions. They had a following or influence, or they had some level of authority. And all of those were deemed potential threats to the communists, namely Stalin, who reportedly, ostensibly, gave his approval of this NKVD. That's the intelligence agency in Russia before they became the KGB. So they came in first, and they went after the leaders, political leaders, influential people within the community, and then they went after the churches, and they burned the churches next, because that's where, that was the foundation, that was the bases where a lot of the resistance, the Polish resistance against the communists, were coming from the churches. Kind of like the American Revolution. The core of a lot of our resistance was from the churches, the congregations. So in looking at our country, where we are, I'm reading, you know, I reread the Higgins memo, and that's where the overthrow of the executive branch of our government was highlighted. The Higgins memo warns of a Marxist deep state subversion. Don't think for a minute that people, that doesn't mean the people in the CIA and the FBI are behind this, but the people that are behind this are in the CIA and the FBI and other intelligence apparatus of our government. They've weaponized components of our government. And you will talk to, I was talking to someone who was speaking with some friends of theirs, the CIA and FBI, and these guys are like, no, we're patriots. If something like that happened, I would tell you that. Matter of fact, I would work to undermine it. I would be opposing it. Well, the thing is, what Higgins points out, he's dead on, but not everybody in these agencies is going to know about it, because you guys that are in there, don't be deceived. You guys know everything is highly compartmentalized. Everything's compartmented. If you're on some op, it's compartmented. And we all know from James Comey and to the ties to Hillary Clinton, the deep state that is at that level, at the Pentagon and around Washington, D.C., and this whole network, it's very, very tightly controlled information and operations. But a White House National Security Council official has charged that leftist opponents of President Trump are engaged in political warfare operations designed to subvert his presidency and drive him from office. He was a strategic the director of strategic planning at the NSC, National Security Council. He revealed the program in a 7-page memorandum produced in May of last year, warning of a concerted information warfare campaign by the Marxist left, Islamists, and political leaders and government officials opposed to the populist president. And this has not let up. This has continued, what's going on. And some of the, even the cover-ups when it does happen, the corruption within our government, that Wooten letter. Remember February 18th, 2017? It was Wooten. He was a special agent involved with the Cliven Bundy case. And he was exposing all of the corruption that was taking place in the BLM. And it was being covered up by the supervisors. Wrongful actions, oppressing citizens. You have that totalitarian, autocratic type of system, while you're also bringing in a democratic system where people are demanding that oppression over the people. And a lot of it's happening through our social media. It's like this, like people mentioned fifth column. It's almost like social media is the fifth column. And it's where you can get so many people riled up so quickly. They'll jump onto anything if you calculate your moves right. You can get an entire mob completely worked up for or against someone. And also the suppression of a message in truth, which is what we're seeing on the social media too. I think social media is one of the worst things that's ever happened to our culture. So many people love it. It's how I stay in touch with my grandkids. But that platform there has just, it's just, I don't even look at it. I don't read it. I don't look. People send me screenshots and I'll just, okay, cool. We'll put stuff up, related to ham radio, or put some little political, pro-freedom meme up there and keep that kind of stuff up. Just keep people, keep the spirits up. But I don't engage on that. It's just horrible. If you want to get a hold of me, johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com is my email. That's the best way. That's the way I prefer to correspond. So anyway, if you get a chance, check this out. The Last Witness. Got the DVD right here, and this might be something you want to add to your library. I have not watched the movie yet. It got pretty decent ratings, but it's the type of story that I'm fascinated in. So I know I'm going to enjoy having this in my library. If you guys get any of this Patriot-related, historical-related information, documentation, DVDs, movies, educational materials, please help us out by clicking on the Amazon banner at either amron.com or radiofreeredoubt.com. Click on that banner. It'll take you on to Amazon, and then do all your shopping there, whatever. You have birthdays coming up, Father's Day is coming up, things like that. You can really help us out. They just give us a small percentage of those that affiliate, but if they don't pay it out, it just goes in their pocket. So it doesn't cost you anymore. It does help us out, and all those little tiny affiliate fees, the 50 cents and 75 cents all add up, and they do help offset the cost, the growing costs of running Radio Free Redoubt and our airtime and everything else associated with that. So thanks, guys, for your support. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. You guys have a super blessed week. Stay safe. Keep your powder dry. Have a good situational awareness. Enjoy time with your family and your loved ones, but be also paying attention to what's going on around you. Maintain situational awareness. All right. Stay in condition yellow at a minimum. All right, this is John Jacob Schmidt, and if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Good night.